This is ContactTalkRadio.com, consciousness in action, and you are taking action into your consciousness by tuning into Contact Talk Radio.
And on TuneIn.com, Hing.fm, and UpSnap Mobile.
Contact Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Carol Reitberger Show, where each week you'll hear a new topic dealing with health and wellness. Carol will be taking your calls and answering your personal questions. And now, here's Carol.
Hello, and thanks for joining me today. I'm your host, medical intuitive Carol Reitberger, and today is the Conversations with Carol show. And what that means is really no specific topic other than just me taking your calls and answering your questions. So if you have a question for me about your health or about anything else you'd like to discuss, maybe this crazy energy, kind of where things are, what's going on, why are you feeling the way you're doing, all of those things, I'll be glad to address when you call me at 877-230-3062. That number is good in the U.S. and Canada. And then also international callers, same thing, is just 877-230-3062. Of course, your international calling number, your code prior to that. So anyway, and happy Halloween to all of you. It is a very energetic, interesting day. I'm going to talk about that because I always start the show out that way. But before I do, I'd like to invite you to join me for my free November free Your Health teleclass, which is actually November 14th. It's at 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. That's 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. By the way, blessings, blessings, and good energy to all of you on the East Coast. I've been sending you energy and my whole group of students and prayer circles and so forth have, so please know that you are not alone. It's at 8 p.m. on Eastern Standard Time. That's November 14th. And then also, I wanted to let you know that this is a very requested topic that I've had from many, many different listeners and people on my database. The topic of the teleclass is Lyme disease, and the teleclass is 60 minutes in length. And what I'm going to be doing is sharing how this tick-borne illness is really reaching epidemic levels and how the symptoms of Lyme disease appear to affect women differently than men because of the way that our immune systems work. And the other factor in this is in regards to the way that the female body tends to be more susceptible to an inflammatory reaction, again, tied to the immune system. I'm going to be discussing also why this particular disease is so misdiagnosed and what can happen if it is misdiagnosed for multiple reasons. First and foremost is that it's not caught when we first get that, you know, bullet-shaped rash. Now, some people don't get that. That's part of the problem. But once we get beyond that initial stage of being infected, then what happens is then it starts to clone itself and has symptomology tied to so many different things such as arthritis, chronic fatigue, fibromyalgia, neurological disorders. It can cause just a general sense of malaise, malnutrition, and malabsorption and so forth. It affects the gut tremendously. So I'm going to be talking about all of those things in the teleclass and then also sharing how as a medical intuitive, I see Lyme disease in the energy system, the chakra system, and the way that it actually maps. And then sharing, as I do in all of my classes, and talking about the psychological impact of emotions. And one of the interesting things I've found with Lyme disease, unlike many other diseases and illnesses that I talk about, is that what occurs is that there's usually a perfect setup psychologically via chemistry in the body for an illness to be able to take hold of us. That's not the case with Lyme disease. So in that particular case, we really have to look at the psychological implications after someone has been bitten by the tick and what it does to change and alter their life, their perspective, their attitudes, and really cause their life to, their world to really start to shrink. So I'm going to be looking at that from a medical intuitive, and that's one of the things that I always try to bring to the teleclasses is a holistic perspective of different illnesses, and I refer to disease and illnesses differently. Disease is really looking at the pathological aspect of what's happening in the physical body. Illness is really looking at the entire holistic perspective. That means looking at it physically, emotionally, mentally, energetically, and then also what are the hidden meanings, what are the messages, the metaphors that we can take from a different particular illness and then be able to participate in our healing in a way that we feel that we have control over. And that's really what healing is all about. So I'm going to be sharing all of those things. That's what I love doing as a medical intuitive. So if you would, and also I forgot to mention that what I do is after the teleclass is that I always go stay on the line for about a half hour afterwards and answer questions just exactly like I'm doing with the Conversations with Carol show, with answering health-related questions, and usually they're topic-related. But if you can join me, I invite you to go to my website, www.ritberger.com, and then you'll just click on the teleclass tab, and it'll say free registration. You just click on that, or you'll find that there's registration icons on the homepage. Just click on it, register. Again, it is free. If you're suffering from Lyme disease or you know someone that's suffering from Lyme disease, and again, this is reaching epidemic proportions, mainly because we're realizing it is not isolated in the areas that we've always associated with Lyme disease. So again, the time is 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It is on Wednesday, November 14th, 2012. So I hope that you can join me. Again, it's free when you listen. And then following, there'll be an email announcement that'll be going out. I'll be offering both the audio download of the teleclass and a printable PDF available for purchase on www.ritberger.com. I always like to start these Conversations with Carol show out with a brief energy update, as I mentioned earlier, and I really like to share this because so many times I find that the things that are happening to us where the mind can't make sense of it and we can't connect the dots to something in our physical world, then we really have to step outside of our physicality and really look at it from an energetic standpoint. And the energy right now, we've been in a pause. It actually is going to end on Saturday, November 3rd. And what this is from June 6th of 2012 to approximately 2 weeks ago, almost 3 weeks ago, we actually entered into this pause. But prior to that, in that time frame I was just speaking of, we really have been in a kind of a focus of clarity. And with the changes that are occurring, we're really having the opportunity to look at our life from a different perspective. That's the soul's perspective. And look at where we're confused, where there's chaos, or where we don't feel like we have control, or there's a lack of awareness of what's going on. And the energy from June 6th to 2 weeks ago, the mid-October basically, is this was a time for us to gain clarity. As a result, a lot of things started coming to us. We attracted a lot of soul agreements with people in our lives, and sometimes that can be even, you know, short-lived acquaintances as people that we meet maybe in a grocery store or somewhere else. But these people have been coming to us with those sacred agreements, soul agreements with us, to be able to help us recognize where we have confusion, where we're lacking clarity. So it's been a very tumultuous time in that short period of time. And what it's also done is it's really caused us to have to step back and look at what isn't working. And the purpose of that is to make decisions. Do we want to change it? Now, it sounds easy to change anything and everything, but the reality of it is the purpose of this pause is so we can sit back and reflect on what we've recognized in the clarity that we need to change. And this time that we're in right now is about weighing the possibilities, looking at the options that we have, really being true to ourselves and truthful with ourselves and asking ourselves, can we really change this particular part of our lives? Are we really in control to change it? We're always in control, but there's so many extenuating circumstances that make us feel like we're not. So this time is about that reflection, looking at possibilities, weighing the options, and so forth. And then when we hit this November 3rd, we're going to go back into the flow, and everything in energetically or in Mother Earth, everything has a cycle. Our body has a cycle in its circadian rhythm. Mother Earth does. Everything, every planet that we have that we can physically see has cycles to it. And this has merely been, we were in the flow. Then about mid-October, we entered into the ebb. Now we're back into the flow. That's where we're headed. And one of the things that I share with my students in my different classes and also on my readings that I've been doing is that what we're being asked in this pause right now, in this transition time, in the weighing of the options, is to choose one thing that we would like to focus on to be able to really move forward with clarity when we get into this flow after November 3rd and moving us into the 2013 energy and the dynamics of enlightenment. So again, very powerful time. I'm going to continue to talk about this as the show goes on, but let me jump in right now. I'd like to take a call from Katie from Sacramento. Hi, sweetie. How are you?
Oh, Carol. Hi, this is Katie. The orange.
I know, sweetheart. The minute I saw you, oh my gosh, you know, my love, orange personalities and yellow personalities, not to negate the others, but wow, are we really struggling with the tension, aren't we?
I guess so.
Yeah. All right. So how can I help you, sweet?
Well, okay, I have a question that I'm trying to get clarity on how to ask this exactly. It's relating to how I'm dealing with the death of a good friend who passed away yesterday. But I'm thinking it's relating to a larger pattern in my life that's not just exclusively about this. And as I'm listening you talk about the pause and the flow, I'm thinking, okay, maybe it's relating to that. But what's happened is that I was going through a lot of pretty intense healing stuff for myself as my friend is dying, and she died of cancer, and I was able to really be there and be present for her, you know, in this last week, and in a way that was really good. It was really a progress for me to be there despite my own fears and stuff. So I was really felt like I was there for her, and that was good. When she actually passed away yesterday morning, I didn't know she had died, but I started going through this really bad spell of feeling like I was going to die, mm-hmm. just kind of out of the blue, and not feeling well physically, but I know it's like it's nothing life-threatening or anything.
Correct.
But I just have gone in, and then I found out that she died, and I just went into this feeling of, like, I'm going to die. Like, this week, I'm going to die. I'm going to get sick and die. There's no rational explanation for it. That's just what I'm focused on.
Right.
And I'm frustrated because I feel like, you know, what I really want to be focused on is thinking about my friend. My friend just did die. I'm not going to die, you know.
Correct.
But it's like I think I'm doing well and handling the flow of life, you know, and everything, and life and death, okay. And all of a sudden, I'm like, I've gone back into this old pattern of just being consumed with my own survival, even though
right.
it's not rational. And I don't, for one thing, I don't like it because I feel it makes me feel afraid and miserable. And another thing is it makes me feel like I'm failing my friend for not, you know, and other people around me for not being there for them. Like, I feel like I'm being selfish.
Exactly.
And I don't really know why I'm falling into this right now. Maybe it's the pause thing you're talking about. I don't know.
Well, in many ways, Katie, it is. And we'll kind of do this layer by layer, sweetie.
Okay.
And the first thing is congratulations for taking the time for your own healing. From an
Thanks.
Orange personality perspective, that really requires you to go against some of the grain of who you are as a personality from the standpoint of naturally, instinctively always putting others' needs before you, especially the emotional needs. And there's nothing more emotionally charged than when we're working with someone who is going through a transition.
Yeah.
So in that particular case, gold stars for you for doing that. What
Thanks.
This opportunity is that she has shared with you is she has shared with you to visit some old patterns to gain clarity, which you are doing. But when we're in that emotional charge, and especially the orange personality, it's kind of hard to remember, you know, to find the forest with the trees. So what she's basically has done in her transition is she has given you the opportunity for you to look at your fear of abandonment.
Okay.
And in that process, in that fear of abandonment, it's to gain clarity that you're not alone, that you're not really abandoned, that even in death, she will always be there with you and for you. So in her gift of transition, she gave you the love and the fortitude and the strength to be able to see how you handled this whole process with her, to be able to start to recognize, you know, with your family and with your friends and with your, you know, sister and all the different things, that you're not alone. And that's what this pause is about in many ways, is to help us go inside and really realize that we're not alone. It's kind of a conditioning of the human mind that sees things as either alone or connected. So that was the gift with it. When you enter into that, Katie, based on your mm-hmm. history suite, as we've worked and knowing you the way that I do, mm-hmm. you're going to fall into like what Alice did when she fell in the rabbit hole. You're going to plummet into mm-hmm. a very, very deep, what feels like a dark night of the soul from the standpoint. The gift of that, sweetie, is so you can recognize again, gain clarity, you're not alone, and make the changes that you started prior to the transition, prior to this energy pause, so you could move forward in a very clear way. As far as your own physical body, and you've stated it very well, is that you know that you are not going to physically transition. I'm going to support that. I have no angels around you that belong to you. I have no visitors from the other side that have been coming to you to basically tell you that this is something that is up and everything that's going on with you. So, but what you are doing in the metaphor of the death, sweetie, is you have a wonderful opportunity to commit to something that you desire to change in this pattern of old patterns. And we can't get rid of the orange personality. We don't mm-hmm. want to. It's your gift. But to be able to move forward in this new movement, this new flow of energy, and to do it in a way that is baby steps, to do it in a way, continue where you were and look at it differently. And it is the metaphor of the death, meaning the loss of the old, the identity of the old. That's one of the things, Katie, sweet, as long as I've known you and you've worked with me, the reality of it is, honey, even a year ago, for you to be strong enough to go through this psychologically and physically would not have been as possible as you did it with so much grace. I know you. And from that standpoint, so there's the progress. So if you could somehow, sweetie, make sense of it until it feels right with you, that this is the metaphor of death. It's the letting go of identities. While they may not be the most pleasant for us and they may create self-judgment and suffering, this is a chance for you to let that identity go and to bring forward the Katie that you've been working on and to move that Katie forward with great voice, with grace, with confidence in the way that you handled yourself as you were helping her. One of the things that is really very, very charged with this, as I feel it, honey, is the standpoint that she actually was part of your very close soul family. She is one that you've incarnated with before in many, many lifetimes. You have a history with each other. You've probably exchanged mother, daughter. You've been sisters. In this lifetime, you were like the Yaya sisterhood, it feels with me. And when we lose a soul in our primary family that is an integral part of our soul agreement and helping us learn to learn what we want to and for us to help them as you helped her, when we experience that loss, it isn't that it's better or more intense than others when others transition, meaning that we're not playing favorites over it. But I'm going to tell you, a part of you basically is not there for you to count on and to touch and so forth. So mm-hmm. find ways to connect with her. Ask
okay.
her. She's going to be a little busy when we transition. There's like a big giant celebration on the other side. And then what's going to happen, sweet, is she's going to go into a time of orientation where she goes back into the memory of being remembrance of being in light. So if you cannot connect with her, don't feel like you've done something wrong. Just keep reaching out to it. She can feel you vibrationally. And then what she'll do is she'll go from that orientation into a place of remembering. And in that time, there's a tremendous amount of quietness on the other side with a soul that's transitioned. Most important for you is to keep the conversation going, keep the dialogue, share what you miss, share what you love, laugh with her the way that you did. And then what you'll do is you can help her, even on the other side, be able to accept this transition in a very positive way, to the point where she can then continue to be of service to you. She always will. I'm just looking for a connection so you'll know that she's been there. Please understand, as I touch her energy, because she's up there still celebrating. She loved to celebrate, by the way, didn't she? Yeah, she had a great zest for life and a lot of celebration about her. And I think this is really interesting with Halloween and the kind of the metaphor of the dead and the everything else. I mean, it's almost like she has a sense of humor. Like, it's like, Katie, you just will not believe what's on the other side. It's like a whole bunch of dead souls that are so alive that everybody is just rejoicing and having a great time. She wants you to know that she's okay, that you're okay, and that your agreement with each other was fulfilled completely prior to the transition. But the gift she gave you of Katie, you will never forget. You will never be alone. You will never be abandoned. That's the message that she just sent.
Thank you.
Yes. Did by any chance, did she give you something to remember her by?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Just pictures, you know.
Yeah. She gave you your voice, sweet.
Mm.
Yeah, she gave you your voice. She was part of the Katie that found her voice.
Mm.
So, anyway,
yeah.
but she is in a good place, no longer any discomfort. It feels like her biggest thing was not really the fear of dying. She just didn't want to suffer, and she's not doing that anymore, sweetie.
Okay.
So, very, very good. One of the things is that your dreams might be a little active, and you might find that other people that knew her in your immediate family are going to be able to not pick up things from her, but they might talk about her in a different way, in a very calm, peaceful way. Please pay attention to that, because my sense is that's her connection with the soul agreements with the other people in your family, and that can help you in this transition as well.
Okay.
Very good. Thank you, my love.
Thank you so much.
Good job. Golly, I'm going to pull out my box of gold stars for you, Miss Katie.
Thank you. Thank you, Carol.
My pleasure. Okay. All right, what I'd like to do is let's go ahead, and I'm going to try to jump in. Come on, Pat. Let's you and I do this, sweetie.
Hey, how are you?
Well, I'm okay. How are you back there, sweet?
I'm doing all right. It was quite a storm here, but...
Yes.
Yes. Well, hanging in there.
Yeah.
I want to catch you up quickly and then ask some questions. I did start EMDR. I found an incredibly wonderful man who is concerned about other things. He says, I have dissociative disorder. Mm-hmm. He wants to work with reattachment. He says, I have post-traumatic stress. So we haven't gotten into EMDR too much, and I'm also giving him a hard time because I'm not trusting it, because to me it's like pretending and we're trying to discover what that's about. And I think we're getting somewhere with it. I think, you know, nothing was real for me growing up.
Right.
You always make me cry. I'm so grateful to talk to you, Carol, and you have such a loving heart. I just want to know, you know, I'll keep working on this. I just want to know that someday I won't be alone. I'll have money. I'll have a home where I'm not worried. I had three wonderful friends in my life that moved away within a year, so I've never had friends. And I just don't want to be alone anymore.
Right, right. Well, and the most important thing, Pat, is that, you know, and what the gentleman has come up with is very, very real. And the dissociative disorder that he is talking about is from the post-traumatic stress disorder. And the fact that you really haven't had this foundation of trust in your life. And so with it taking what appears to be time and you not trusting the process is part of the process itself, sweetie.
Right.
And in his, you know, wisdom, because he's an extremely intelligent and also intuitive being, he recognizes that the very foundation that needs to be built for you to learn to trust yourself, and that's really what you're going to get out of this, is for you to trust yourself, is that you, he has to establish trust with you in your eyes. And there's going to be times, honey, that you're going to trust him, you're going to be open, and there's other times that you're not. If you can ask him to give you tools, and that's one of the things that EMDR can do, but to give you a tool that when you get into that place where you're not trusting yourself and it spills over into your outer world and your interactions with others, ask him if there's something that you can hang on to, that you can be able to fall back on, that you can continue this process. And your soul just gave me one. What it has is it has this beautiful orb, and it gave me this orb as I was talking to you in the metaphor. This orb is iridescent. It's translucent. It has many, many different colors in it. It isn't a crystal ball from the standpoint that it foretells your future, but it's an orb that is literally a living entity of energy, which is reflective of you. It's your soul, basically, in that when I take you out of the woundedness of your life and the lack of not having the support that you have. And these aren't figments of your imagination, Pat. These aren't things, sweetie, that you were dreaming up when you were kind of lost in space trying to survive. These are very real, concrete, measurable, tangible experiences. So I have this orb, this breathing, living energy source, and this round ball that's just, again, iridescent, translucent. It's got white. And your soul keeps saying to me, put me in a healing bag. Create a healing bag for me. What would that look like? And if that means physically creating a healing bag that you can leave in somewhere in your house that you can reflect on, or that you can, and not a lot of them, it just says, just ask her to create a healing bag that she can, anytime she reaches that place where that distrust starts to come in, just put that healing bag and that orb back into her heart. And just visualize that. And that doesn't mean that the work will not have its emotional charge to it, sweetie. It's just your soul saying to me that it will allow you to step out of the trauma, and it will allow you to see your trauma through different eyes. And that's ultimately what this gentleman will do with EMDR, is he will give you tools. And if you can ask him to start that process, your soul just gave you one. It's basically, that bag is love, it's healing, it's compassion, it's patience, it's tolerance, it's grace, it's inspiration, it's courage. All of those are part of the components within that orb that I touch. And then what you do is when you reach that place, then it is literally to put that in and then to allow the process. Baby steps to allow the process. So one of your friends that moved away, have they been getting in touch with you? Have they been reaching out to you more?
No, they're long gone and lost.
Oh, one of them isn't, sweet. One of them is almost like it's, I'm asking her if she'll identify herself. One of them is not lost. One of them had to do her own work. It's a female, had to do her own work, and is now becoming consciously aware of what you gave to her and the soul agreement. I don't know where it's going to go, because it's kind of like there was an awakening and epiphany around it, that, and then looking at her behavior, and I mean, she was fickle. My God, she was like a trickster. When I touch her, one minute she was an advocate, and the next minute she was like a contrarian. It was like, oh my God, you can't do anything right. And the next minute she's singing your praise. But please know, and I don't know where it's going to go, honestly, Pat, with it. I can't get the clarity around it. But I do know that where you are, honey, this one soul agreement that you have with this one person that you believe is lost is not. It's almost like a flicker of light has been found within her. And so, I don't know, just hang on, kind of like stay tuned, as to where it's going to go. But my sense is that you're going to start getting this sense that you really aren't alone. And it feels like she's going to visit you. You're going to visit her again. I wish I could be more clear on what that is, but I've just kind of got this awakening aha that's just taking place within her.
Can I ask you her, can I give you a name?
Absolutely. Give me what? Can you give me all three first names and I can tell you precisely?
Bonnie when I was like 6. Kathy when I was about 12. Okay. And then Wendy when I was older. I was 28.
Go ahead.
I hope not Maureen, as you described as thick. Good, thank you.
No, not at all. It feels like Bonnie. But it's interesting because when I touch Bonnie's energy, I can pick up some of Wendy's energy as well. So there's a very good chance that the soul agreement you had with each of those, with each of the people were basically tied somehow into this place where you are, where you're recognizing that in order for you to be whole and complete, that it's all around the self-trust and it's learning how to gracefully with the disassociation get back in connection with yourself and trust yourself, and then you will be able to have what you desire. And the first and foremost thing, Pat, that is so strong in you, sweetie, is home. It's like I'm not even so picking up the energy of what are you going to do to get a home. It's just home is important. The understanding that you belong somewhere and you created that somewhere. That's really when you talk to the gentleman you're working with and if he asks you at any point in time, what would you like to get out of this work that you're going to be doing with him? You want a home. You want a place where you feel safe, you feel secure, you feel like you can grow and expand, that's yours, and that's what you're looking for. So see yourself as that orb, that dynamic light, and when you get to a place where you get very frightened, honey, and that's really real, and it changes the chemistry of your body, that's very real, and it brings up that fear, which is very real, then what you want to do is to hold that orb in your hand, put it in the healing bag. I'm going to ask you to create what that bag would look like. I'm going to ask you to make a commitment to keep that bag looking the same. Don't change it. Spend some time with it to tweak it. What color do you want? Do you want it to have any crystals, beads? What kind of ribbon do you want? Anything, sweetie. And then hold that bag sacred in all that you go through. Because that bag is you. It's your vessel. And if you can see you in this healing metaphor and vision with your soul in this bag, you'll recognize that you're not disassociated from the core of who you are. You're just trying to escape the traumas in your mind.
Okay.
And that will be very, very helpful for you. And as much as, you know, with the devastation of Super Sandy and so forth with it, my sense is that this is metaphorically for you a cleansing, a purging, a time to let go. And I really believe that that's the metaphor personally for you, not for everybody on the East Coast, but for you personally, Pat. This is very symbolic of the time and the change and stuff, sweetie. You are okay. You are okay. You are more stable than when I talked to you last time on my show.
Okay.
So okay. I can even hear it in your voice.
Thank you so much.
You are so welcome. And tears are always a good thing on my side because I always say that it's the soul's way of cleaning the lens of our eyes so we can see clearly, getting some of those bugs off of it, those bugs we call trauma. Light and love to you, my sweet.
Bless you so much. God bless you. Thank you.
You are so welcome. What I want to do is I want to take a quick commercial break. I'm going to come right back, take some more calls, talk a little bit more about this energy. And so stay tuned. I'm going to be right back.
like to learn the hidden meanings behind illness and see how a medical intuitive views illness? You can by joining medical intuitive Carol Reitberger each month on her teleclass series, Your Health. Each month, she'll be featuring a different health issue and sharing the contributors behind it. You can register online at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com.
Have you ever wanted to talk with a medical intuitive to uncover the hidden meanings behind your aches, pains, and illnesses? Now you can. Internationally renowned medical intuitive Carol Reitberger is now offering personal and health-related readings. Discover your soul's purpose. Learn about the soul and the pre-birth agreements that you have with the people in your life. Readings can be booked online at www.reitberger.com. An hour with Carol can be life-changing.
Welcome back, and if you're just joining me, today is a Conversations with Carol show, and what that means is I'm taking this whole show and dedicating it to taking your calls. So if you have a question for me about your health or about any topic you'd like to discuss, I invite you to call me at 877-230-3062, and then international callers, dial your international calling code, and then 877-230-3062. Very interesting. I'm going to share a little bit with you. My producer and I have an opportunity to kind of chit-chat with each other in between commercial breaks and so forth with it, and we just recognized that we missed our cue, and I thought, oh my gosh, is that so appropriate for where the energy is right now, is that our mindset is and our self-judgment is we're missing the cue. We're not going to be at the right place at the right time. We're not going to be standing on that train station when the train comes in toward, and that's the train of enlightenment. And I had to chuckle. That's what you heard in my voice when I first opened up this segment, is I was chuckling and thinking, oh my gosh, how many of us are feeling like we've missed the cue? We really, really haven't. What it is that we have this pause and this flow is picking up. And what we have to remember is that honestly, whether we're just a little bit late or we're a little bit early, really doesn't make any difference, because from our soul's perspective, everything is in divine timing. So talking about divine timing, 877-230-3062. If you'd like to learn more about the hidden meanings behind different illnesses such as headache, chronic fatigue, fibromyalgia, breast cancer, tinnitus, hypothyroidism, or thyroid disorders and everything, I have a total of over 28 different illnesses that I have on my website where I share from my teleclasses where I've worked on these different illnesses, and I share holistic perspective. You can just go to and visit my website at www.reitberger.com. Just go to the homepage, put the cursor on the teleclass tab at the top of the page, and click on the downloads and when the drop-down menu comes up, and then you'll be able to see all of the different illnesses that I have been able to cover over the course of all of your suggestions, which, by the way, you are the one that really guides me into which different illnesses to be able to share on the teleclasses themselves. So if you have a teleclass suggestion, again, my website, www.reitberger.com. Please submit that, and then I will feature that particular illness in one of my teleclasses. Now, if you do go to my website and you look at these different illnesses that I've looked at, I even have something that's a try before you buy feature. What that means is that you can actually listen to the sound bit from my actual teleclass audio download, and then also there's a printable PDF. And I would like to share that we are just wrapping up today is kind of what we call the last day of the Breast Cancer Awareness Month, but was something that I encourage all of us to do as females in particular. Always be aware of breast cancer. Do the self massage to be able to see if you have anything or any lumps. Always stay on top of the health, but I wanted to let you know that the audio PDF of breast cancer from my Your Health teleclass is actually free. So if you are suffering from breast cancer or you know someone who is or has been diagnosed or just diagnosed, then I encourage you to go to my website, www.rickberger.com, RITEBERGER.com. Share the information with them. There is a free audio download. And then there's a very detailed printable PDF on breast cancer that is available for a nominal fee. And the purchase, again, www.rittberger.com. One of the things that this energy is all about, this energy is about when I said let's make a choice of something as we enter into the November 3rd phenomena, meaning this flow. I know that sounds like big stuff when I say it that way, but really what we're doing is going back in the flow. And one of the things that I encourage you to consider as you're going to make a commitment for something that you choose to move forward to and working on in the 2013 energy of enlightenment is to find clarity in the parts of your life where you hold a lot of self-judgment, in the standpoint that you get very irritated with yourself, angry with yourself. There's a lot of self-resentment that's there, because one of the things that Edgar Cayce has said in his readings is that you cannot hold self-directed anger and remain healthy. Self-directed anger in my world as a medical intuitive is actually an emotional energetic charge that is held in the spleen. The spleen is the major, one of the major components, but the major component in the creation of the T cells, the natural killer cells that really serve as the inflammatory reaction in protecting the body against ourselves psychologically, and then also protects the body against viruses and bacterial infections and so forth. So very, very important. So this is the energy of self-judgment. Find some clarity in one part of your life that you seem to, you know, kind of say things to yourself that you wouldn't say to your worst enemy. And maybe you want to make a commitment and focus on that self-judgment. I'm going to talk a little bit more about self-judgment as I start to wrap up the show, but I want to be sure to get this caller in. Hi, Shannon. How are you, sweet?
I'm doing well, Carol. Oh, thanks for having me on the line. I really am really grateful.
You are welcome. Oh, my gosh, honey. Did you have a major kind of change of an enlightenment epiphany about 2 weeks ago?
Well, it feels like they're coming every 2 weeks lately. So.
Well, it did, honey. It comes and then it's like, OMG, what do I do with this now? OMG, here it is. It's just another thing. So anyway, but my pleasure. How can I help you?
Well, the thing that I'm really wanting to get insight around is my son. Back in July, he started showing signs of having elevated blood sugar levels, and mm-hmm. his father is a type 1 diabetic. And so since that happened, we did a dramatic shift in our diets and have seen really good results. And a lot of other things, too. There's been a really big spiritual element to the healing process. But I still have a lot of questions, and I don't know if it's just being a mom and having a hard time just letting go of the process, or if there's something that you can really see that you think would be valuable for me to guide me through to the next level of healing for him.
Well, I sure can. And, you know, the first thing is, honey, you're going to always be a mom first and foremost. And with that role and that kind of responsibility we take on, it is our job as moms. We worry. We feel guilty. We go through all the emotions that we do. And we always continue to try to find things that are going to make the loved ones' lives easier and so forth. One of the things that you have done some wonderful things that has really helped your son in the management of the insulin glucose dynamics. One of the things I encourage you to do is to continue to monitor that sweet on a regular basis as he continues to go through some of the different adaptations that his body's going to go through in order to be able to manage this world and this body that he's living in. And specifically is important for you to keep track of that blood sugar dynamics. He does, as we know, as you mentioned, from a genetic predisposition, he does have the predisposition for type 1 diabetes. I do find, I would be remiss if I did not say it, I don't mean to worry you, But there is a, right now with his genetics and the DNA and the activity and everything, there is a real possibility that he's going to end up with type 1 diabetes. I do believe there's things that you can do that can ward that off. I don't know where his body's going to go. How old is he, sweet?
He's 5.
Yeah. It feels like somewhere around 7 he's going to go through another change. And if you can manage these different aspects of his food, of his blood sugar, he feels like he gets wound up. If you can work with him with getting wound up, little boys have a lot more energy than little girls. But if you can manage some of the different ways that it gets wound up and then find constructive, healthy ways for him to relax and so forth, my sense, all of those are going to be a very important step in being able to manage this. The area that feels like it's going to, and why I encouraged you to manage it and to observe it, is that it feels like when he starts getting into the hormonal changes somewhere around 7 or 8 years old, that'll be another point where it can potentially change the dynamics of the physiology and the chemistry of the body to where it could be, okay, so we passed 5, now we're going to pass 7 and 8, and then we're going to pass 15, 16, and then we're going to pass, and with type 1 diabetes, it tends to, if it's going to show up as type 1, it tends to, and not always, but tends to show up between very early onset, usually about 4 or 5 years old, all the way up to about 15, and then it can be diagnosed. Once we get him through that, then type 1 isn't something to be concerned about. So that's it's important to just kind of watch that, watch his food, complex carbohydrates. He does feel like he needs to eat more frequently than just the normal food standpoint. He feels like he craves fats. Is that true?
Yeah, I would say so. And yeah.
Yeah, he's an indigo. On top of it, he's a crystal indigo. He's charged up. He's got a lot of energy. That may be why I was picking up. He's got a lot of energy. And
yeah, he's,
one of the things, yeah, go ahead, sweet.
He seems to be a kind of a mellow guy, you know. He doesn't have that real, like, wildness that a lot of boys have. But
yeah. So let me see. He doesn't have that, what we, he doesn't have ADD or ADHD. But do you find, let's see if I can do this. Do you find sometimes that he fixates on things?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Now, I only use that word because I'm not talking about obsessive compulsive. I'm going to be real clear on things. I'm not talking about obsessive compulsive disorder or anything with him. But it just feels like when he starts to spin and gets wound up, it happens in his mind. It feels like he gets onto something and he gets really fixated on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I bring that forward because in that kind of fixation, he feels like he wants to fix things. He feels like he's going to probably be a builder, is what he's going to love to do. And when he does that, that can create stress in him. His mind might get something the Tibetans call the monkey mind, where he gets fixated and stuff. When you start to find that, just kind of distract him. See if there's something else that you can have him do. And what that'll do is it'll help manage the chemistry in his body as well. With the fat, that's where I picked up that he's an indigo and a crystal. And one of the things with the indigos, and especially the crystals, all indigos seem to crave fat. It's like their body needs it. And being a crystal is that you may find that he will have these, almost feels like every 2 weeks, honestly, that he feels like he's just going to need some kind of fat. He's going to need something. It's like you can feed him really healthy things, and then every 2 weeks he wants to fall off the wagon, and then he wants things that isn't. He wants things that are going to charge him up, give him the fat that is going to also give him the glucose and the dynamics. Those are the times, sweetie, you're going to want to be mindful of. And I connect this kind of fixation, sorry to have to use that word, but I think it's the one that you can relate to. When you start to see that, you'll start to see patterns that if you notice that behavior, then he's going to want to eat different things. And you may find energy bouncing around. You may find his cravings bouncing around. Those are the times where it's really important to find something that can satisfy those cravings without it spiking his sugar level. So the other thing is that, you know, his growth and everything, you can look at that. All of those are indicators as to whether we're going to, you know, kind of breeze through the potential for this type 1 diabetes. Something also, sweetie, type 1 diabetes, we find the genetic predisposition and connection, but I have worked with many families that have don't even have that in their family that can manage that, sweetie, by exactly what you're doing with the food and with the care that you're giving him and the rest and so forth. Those are really helpful to him.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, a very bright child, very bright child, very neurologically extremely active. He seems to be able to connect the dots quickly. He feels like he's got an archetype behavior about him, builder. It feels like he tries to build things even within his family, his relationships. You're going to see that this will be a common thread with him in the way that he approaches things. He doesn't go through life. He likes to build things, change things, make a difference. He's just got that quality about him. So very, very special, and one that, you know, you can really work with him on.
Yeah, he's been amazingly receptive to everything. And
yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's an old soul that knows that if he can manage his physical form in a way that can energetically sustain him, that's as a mother what you can do, that's the spiritual component, the food component with it, then what he can do is he'll do his work without having to experience some of the normal ailments that the physical body falls kind of into that rabbit hole with. So he chose you very specifically because you two know each other, and he knows that you will always help him in assisting him to be healthy in his body. That's the agreement that you have.
Mm-hmm.
So, very, very good. All right. There's another question, isn't there, sweet? Is there one more that you have?
Well, I guess for me,
yes, thank you. You're
so intuitive.
Actually, sweetie, you're just very good at sending it out. I could feel it's like, okay, well, that didn't feel like it's quite done. And I could feel you're tapping me on the shoulder. All right, sweet. Yeah. Okay, I've got a couple more minutes. Let's go.
So for me, I have a lump on my, like in my groin area.
Yes.
And I just have been wondering about it for a while. I've had it looked at and they said that it was nothing. That was just at a free clinic, so.
Yes, actually that's true. It isn't anything. It actually does feel like it's tied to a lymph node, not tied to anything that's negative with it. But I kind of look at it like the lymph coming from your legs and your feet has to kind of stay at a way station before it can move into the rest of the lymphatic system in order to be removed into the liver and so forth. So it feels like it's just kind of a storage tank more than anything else. One of the things that you might want to do, Edgar Casey would have recommended that maybe you want to do some castor oil packs mm-hmm. on it to remove the toxin through the pores of the skin. It feels like it seems to become more pronounced than other times. That's why I keep tying it to the lymph system and so forth. But I'm not picking up anything. I'm not even picking up. It's not a hernia or anything. It just feels like it's a lymph node that just every so often says, okay, well, I need to hold this until the body gets to this place where it needs to be able to eliminate it the way it needs to. So that's what it feels like to me.
All right.
So, again, I think the preclinic is accurate with it. One of the things that I can say to you and who you are, why this little one takes after you, is, sweetie, when you start thinking things to death, then I need you to go and read or go have tests or go do something so you don't start into that worry cycle. Mm-hmm. And that's the best thing I can say also for your son is if you start getting that motherly instinct and that worrying, trust it. And it's not so much that it's something bad, but it's just saying you don't have enough information. Go get your information, however that may be.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is you could probably work with a naturopath or someone with homeopathy, and they'd probably be able to help you with that lump in the groin area.
Mm-hmm.
So it feels like it's just we need to find a way to clean it out so it doesn't store.
Yeah.
Very good. Well, thank you. Thank you, sweetie, for talking to me. I really appreciate it. Light and love to you. What I'd like to do very, very quickly, because I'm running out of time. So what is this November 3rd? It's about finding something you're clear on, commit, and then commit and stick with it. It's about removing self-judgment. And the gift of all of this is if you remove the self-judgment that you have towards yourself, then you remove the suffering. And the energy right now in 2012 is about gaining clarity, removing the self-judgment, and easing into the 2013 into 2030, ultimately, that's where it's going to go, is to go into it in the state of enlightenment with self-love. Light and love to all of you. You have a wonderful week. Always a pleasure to be with you. Please join me again next Wednesday morning when I get back on the radio. Light and love, and I'll see you next week on the radio. Have a great week.
Been listening to the Carol Reiberger Show. Join Carol next week and every week at 10 a.m. Pacific Time on ContactTalkRadio.com. To contact Carol, visit her website at www.reiberger.com. That's www.reiberger.com. See you soon.